Welcome to The Changeover, the podcast that gives sales and marketing teams at industrial organizations the fuel to grow and prosper in today's dynamic landscape. We're Wider Group, an integrated marketing and sales growth agency and one of the first 20 HubSpot partners in the world. We're glad you tuned in. Let's roll.
Welcome back to The Changeover podcast. I'm your host, Greg Linnemansons, president of Wider Group. In this episode, we're talking about sales automation with Rick Krantz, our CRM and RevOps expert. You'll learn how traditional B2B sales processes miss the mark when it comes to efficiency and how sales automation can fix the leaks in your sales funnel. Let's get started. Well, Rick, I'm thrilled that you could join me today to talk about sales management and the role of process improvement and automation of those processes. Could you just give our audience a little bit of background on how you got to be a RevOps expert? Because nobody comes out of college, especially when you and I got out of college, thinking about a career in RevOps. So a little bit about your background, please.
Yeah, sure. I didn't expect to either. When I got out of college, I worked for a Fortune 500 company in New York City for about 15 years. And then I surprisingly left there to open a small manufacturing firm with a friend of mine. And at that point, I had to build a sales team. It was the early days of internet marketing, and we had so many leads coming in. I had to build a 6-person sales team. And that's when I started cutting my teeth on RevOps. I was forced to become, by my Sandler friend and trainer, I was forced to become a sales manager. He dragged me into that, kicking and screaming, right? And that's where I really started to, I had started to love the whole process of building, of helping salespeople just streamline their day. Yeah. And that's always been my passion. Like, how do I make a salesperson's day more enjoyable? How do I give them more time back to spend in face-to-face meetings? Because salespeople really just love engaging with other people and helping them make a decision, helping them understand their situation, helping them understand the product or service that they offer that may or may not be able to help them. 2010, I left the firm and I opened my own lead gen agency, Overgo Studio, which is a HubSpot partner for 13 years. And we evolved into sales enablement, implementing the HubSpot CRM system and customizing it for our clients. And then last year, we merged with Wider and I became the director of revenue operations at Wider. So yeah, that's been my interesting and exciting path, and I never expected to be involved.
Yeah, so you were doing RevOps before it had a name.
I guess, yes. Yeah, I was doing inbound marketing before it had a name too.
Yeah. So you sure. were around as a sales manager when the first CRM products were introduced, right?
Yes.
Do you remember what was that transition like? And how did processes change from your perspective?
Well, first, I'd just like to say, I think the first CRM system I ever was witnessed to is still in existence and still a lot of people use. It's called the Post-it Note. And remember...
Post-it notes. I was there too, Rick.
They were all over the screens, and and that's how you would remember to follow up on somebody. You had a Post-it note on your screen. You pull it off, and it's funny. I still see salespeople still using Post-it notes. But yeah, in the early days, I think one of the first systems was ACT, and really it was just a digital Rolodex, and then came Goldmine, which was a network system. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I think Microsoft had launched their Dynamics system. It was pretty exciting and pretty interesting watching how all of these technologies evolved through the years.
When you think about how far we've come, what do you see a lot of industrials doing with platforms that are far more powerful? Their capabilities continue to amaze us. What do you see, both the pros and the cons of companies that you're looking at as far as how they're managing both opportunities and customers using these powerful platforms?
I mean, the ones that have adopted some of these platforms and have utilized the resources necessary to get adoption from their teams are really seeing the benefits of increased revenue opportunities. Closing rates are higher. Sales, the sales teams are just happier. On the negative side, we do see a lot of companies installing systems and figuring, okay, we bought the system. You know, I heard about that system, whether it's Salesforce or HubSpot and or Microsoft Dynamics. And therefore, if we install the system, we are going to now be at this new level. And it doesn't work that way. You really need to invest the resources to understand how to optimize these systems for your specific processes, and then to handle the change management. So a lot of times we come in and we see that they have these systems in place, but they're not being utilized.
Yeah.
Still working off of spreadsheets, still working off of post-it notes. Some people are utilizing the system, but there's no standard process throughout the organization.
Yeah. Yeah. You've done talks on identifying the leaks in your sales management process. What are some of the common leaks that you've identified, and how do you find them, and what should sales leadership of industrial companies be watchful for?
So some of the common ones that we see are the manual lead management. It's timely. Manually following up on leads for salespeople. And the symptom you could see is like the time that the lead is created to the time that the lead actually gets the first outreach. So if that's not what's happening within an hour or two, it's usually symptomatic of a bigger issue, that there's just no automation. There's no process to help the salespeople to identify what they should be doing next. And I'm not saying that it needs to be automated, that, you know, just because a lead came in, it should get an email out automated without the salesperson looking at it. That's not what I'm saying. But there should be some system in place, some automation that helps the salesperson identify what is important at this moment in time. Like, what is in my system? What do I have to look at? Who should I be reaching out to right now? So that's one of the leaks that we see. Another one is stalled deals. We'll see stalled deals get stuck in the pipeline. Now, there's a lot of good reasons for deals getting stuck in their pipeline. But when you dig into that, we'll find, you know, sometimes there's other reasons that stalled deals. It's just the pipelines weren't structured properly. There's no checklists for moving something through a pipeline. So what we'll typically do for our clients is automate their pipeline for them and put checklists in place. You know, we have a stage, a discovery stage where we're working with the prospect. We have you know, a buy-in stage, we have a presenting, you know, creating the proposal stage, we have a presenting a proposal stage and things like that. And these stages vary wildly between different companies. But what we see is if they don't have like a standard process or checklist for each stage, like what causes this opportunity to be in the next stage? Like, why is it there? Is it there justifiably, or is it just there because we thought we should move it there? So without those checklists, they tend to stall, right? Deals will stall. So that's another thing that we can solve for with these advanced CRM systems.
So how do you start to diagnose if you're in a new conversation with a prospect who suspects that they could benefit from both process work and automation of their processes? What does that conversation sound like that helps you to identify, yeah, these guys are going to benefit from, you know, both process improvement and deploying some automation?
It's an organic conversation about what's going on in sales, right? How many leads are you getting? So in some instances, there's too many leads coming in, and that's not always the case, right? It's a rare case, but that happens. I think everybody wishes that was the case, that they had too many leads coming in. But we do have clients that have too many leads, and the number of salespeople handling them can't get to all of them. We can solve for that. We also look at how much time is the salesperson actually getting to spend face-to-face, like whether it's on a Zoom meeting or going to their prospect's office, whatever it is. You know, how much time are they getting to do that versus the time that they're spending updating their CRM or filling out reports or trying to gather information on prospects or doing cold outreach and things like that.
So if they're working for the CRM, that's not good.
No, it's always been my philosophy. And I picked this up when I built my sales team at the manufacturing firm. You know, I initially was doing marketing, and it was working so well because those are the early days of internet marketing, that I had to hire a 6-person sales team. And when I started working with them, I realized that, okay, I had to put sales first. And any CRM I put in here, it's the number one thing that I need a CRM to do is improve a salesperson's workday. make their workday more enjoyable, free up the time that they need to spend doing admin work, and give them more time to do what they really love doing, which is talking to people and connecting and helping people make a decision, helping people understand what their issue is and potentially how their product or service can solve that.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go back to something you said just a little while ago. You said the problem sometimes is that they have too many leads. And just to clarify, you mean more leads than they can manage.
Exactly. That's something. More leads than the salesperson can manage. And in that case, what happens is, you know, and I've done this myself, you work with the low-hanging fruit. You work with the people that are actually engaging with you. So if I have 50 prospects that I have to work with this week, I'm going to work with the ones that are actually getting back to my emails or answering and taking my phone calls or taking meetings with me. And because I have, maybe I only have time to deal with 30 of them, I'm going to ignore the 20 that haven't gotten back to me, right? And that makes sense. That's logical. It's human nature. But we can put systems in place for those 20. So the salesperson can consciously say, okay, these 20 I can't get to, I'm going to put them into an automation system. You know, just because they didn't answer me this week doesn't mean they ghosted me permanently. So when we see that, when there's too many leads, we put in these backup systems for the salespeople to use when they choose to.
Yeah. So, Rick, we don't know exactly what the number is, but there's widespread belief that most businesses of a certain size, and especially in manufacturing, the industrials, are using some CRM product. They're widely available. They're at all price points. If so many companies have them in place, why do we keep finding businesses that aren't utilizing them, right? They're not fixing their processes and they're not using automation.
There's an interesting report from Forrester that says on industrials, and it says that 71% of industrials have some kind of CRM system in place.
Yeah.
Right. But it also goes on to say that the satisfaction rate is extremely low amongst industrials as far as their CRM goes. And interesting enough, they also go on to say that even though they have a low satisfaction rate, the vendor loyalty remains high. So this gets back to, I think what I touched on before, right, is like, now because I bought Salesforce and I installed it, or I bought Microsoft Dynamics and I installed it, or I bought HubSpot and I installed it, or many of the CRM systems, right? But what they're not investing in is the people. And that's why they have a low satisfaction rate. You just buying the tool doesn't do anything. You need to invest in the resources to train the people, to coach them, to customize the tool. And that's when you start to see the satisfaction rate go up. Just buying the tool itself does not solve for the problem.
Yeah, yeah. So when you think about the steps that businesses should take, what's the advice that you would give if you were talking to a prospect today about how to find and fix the leaks in your sales processes?
Bring in an outside agent. It could be a sales coach. It could be a firm like ours that does sales enablement. We've worked with a lot of sales coaches who have come in to train sales teams and set up processes with those teams. And then they see that there's no system in house that the teams can use for that process or house that process. And then they bring us in to help build that process. No entrepreneur who started a successful industrial got into it to say, you know, I can't wait till they're big enough that I could install a CRM system and figure out how to use it, right?
Yeah.
No one ever said that. That's not what you do for a living, right? That shouldn't be what you're struggling with. That shouldn't be what you're spending your time on. That's not what your customers are paying you for.
Yeah.
Bring in someone to evaluate. Do you even need one, right? There's a lot of, I've worked with a lot of CEOs and looked at their setup and said, no, you just don't need this level of sophistication yet for what you've got going on.
Yeah, here. Yeah. What's the first step that you would take with somebody who recognizes their sales team is not effectively getting the most from their lead traffic? So they've put out a call for help. Where would you start?
I start meeting with the sales team. What are they struggling with? Like, where are they spending their time that they don't want to spend their time or shouldn't be spending their time? It's really just a discovery process. We have a templated discovery process that we take our prospects through. It has, you know, it takes them through like, where's their business coming from? Is it referrals? Is it cold outreach? Is it inbound traffic from their website, right? And then how are those different leads and contacts being handled and followed up with? And, you know, what's growing their business and, yeah. and what's not, what's wasting their time?
I'm curious, Rick, how often do you start that conversation? And if you have six or eight people in the room, you get six or eight different answers on how they're managing and following up on leads.
Well, we've worked with several companies that are well-organized. And they have a process, but in a lot of cases, it is six or seven different answers. You know, as these companies grow, the CEO or the founders, they had a process that they did when they had to do sales, and they passed that process down. And a lot of times, you'd be surprised. I'm never surprised. Like how many times the CEO himself is surprised at what's going on with the sales team, like. Like, because things evolve, you know, you leave it alone, you move on to work on something else. And now the sales team has created their own process. So it's a matter of bringing all those different processes together and trying to, okay, let's figure out the one process or the two or three processes that we need for this particular organization to be successful.
What processes that when automated produce the best improvement for a typical client?
A big thing that we solve for is lack of visibility. What is actually going on for an opportunity? Like, how is it moving through the sales pipeline, right? Sometimes the pipelines are defective. They're just not set up properly. They don't have the proper stages. The reporting is defective. The salesperson himself really doesn't have reports on like how much activity he's doing and what results is he getting. The sales manager doesn't have visibility into it. And then, you know, the leadership team doesn't have visibility into how is this affecting our bottom line? Like, what is actually happening here? So that usually is the biggest impact that we make when we come in and solve for those things, because it affects all three levels in the organization.
So just making it apparent to everybody in the process, both the discrete, the salespeople, them understanding how they're performing, and then the roll-up of how's the team doing? And how's that affecting the company's performance? So at all three levels.
Exactly. And being able to track that through your pipeline and be able to make predictions now, right? Being able to look at the pipeline and say, well, based on what's on our pipeline, operations can forecast, finance can forecast what they're going to need and next month and the month after with some reliability, more reliability than they've ever been able to do prior to that.
So that refers then to instituting processes that people embrace. So everybody's participating in the process and using the platform at its basic level, how it's intended to be used so that it gives people visibility to what's going on. But that's before you've even done any automation. And so Right. Then what are the common automation fixes that turn a good process into something that's got even less friction on it and is more likely to be done at the cadence you're looking for?
I'll give you an example, one we're just currently working on with a client that has a BDR team of three people, and they have a 90-day cycle that they go through with their outreach, phone and email. In the past, it was a manual process where they have to figure out, well, how many days ago did I reach out to this person? Is it 91 now? Do I go back to it again? Right. And there's a reason for this. Like, it may sound silly, but there's actually a business reason that makes sense for the way they're doing this. And what we do is we put in automation now. So they just come into their CRM, which is, in this case is HubSpot, and they go to their task window, and it has lined up everyone that they have to call, and they just press one button and the call is made. They can leave a voicemail. They could drop a voicemail just with a click without having to actually record the voicemail, and it brings up the next one. And the system is monitoring how these leads are being followed up with. When was the last time this contact was touched? What was the result? What was the outcome? They come in and the system shows them, okay, here's here's who you need to reach out to today. So now they're a lot more efficient. They don't have to deal with that side of the admin work.
Yeah. Yeah. Short of suggesting to sales leaders that they give you a call and hire you to come in, what advice would you give them on how they could prioritize their thinking about the fixes that'll benefit them the most?
I think the best place to start is the same place I would start if I came in. And that's just have a conversation with your sales team. And then after you, with that, you can identify, like, where are these inefficiencies happening? Like, mm-hmm. Where are my salespeople getting stuck? Where are they spending too much time on admin work versus face-to-face with a prospect or an existing customer that they need to be working with? From there, you want to start with things that are high impact and we call low disruption, meaning I'm not changing my entire process to do this, but it's going to have an impact. So I'm not asking everybody to reverse what they're doing or switch up what they're doing, but if I do this one thing, it's going to help these salespeople spend more time with our clients and our prospects. The other thing I would bring is just bring in some external expertise, you know, to take a look after that and see, you know, what do they see? How else could they help you? So when we engage, it's we analyze, we customize, we set up, we train, we do a lot of handholding, a lot of change management, but then it's iterative. We come back and we sort of do it again on a smaller basis with the individual salespeople. Do they have any other ideas and things they see now that they see how this can work? What can work? Sometimes salespeople come up with the greatest ideas, but it's a constant and never ending improvement cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it important? You know, you mentioned auditing the sales process and really understanding from the salespeople's perspectives, what do their processes look like? Is it important that people do some measurement? I mean, salespeople are not famous for knowing exactly how they spent their time. there's you know, been a I think an incredible cultural independence among salespeople. Is it important that you start to understand how are they really spending their time, so that you know what you're trying to improve on?
Like in the Sandler world, they call it a cookbook, right?
Yeah.
So and in that case, that's what the salesperson owns. They own their own cookbook of stuff that they can control, meaning I can control how many emails I write today. I can control how many phone calls I make today. I can control how many leads or opportunities I dig out from doing research today. I can't necessarily control how many meetings I'm going to have. Those are results of the other three items that I can control. So having measurements for those and goals for those are very important. Getting back to your, what are the numbers? What are the measurements? I'm not so interested in measuring how they're spending their time, but measuring like what's the results of the time that they spent. Did they make, if my goal is to do 100 email outreaches this week, did I do it? You know, or 100 connections on LinkedIn, did I do it, right? So
yeah.
Those can all be measured in the CRM and put on a dashboard for the salesperson and for the sales manager. So that is important. It is important to know. And that's the thing we ask our clients when we get in there. It's like, okay, what are the goals? What's the salesperson's goals? What are the opportunity goals? What are the revenue goals? So we set up KPIs for all of that. And we set up the measurements. We set up the dashboards that measure all those things.
Yeah. So you're measuring activities, you're measuring opportunities, and you're measuring revenue, both expressed as an opportunity and then closed.
Yeah, and the interim outcomes you're measuring too. So, yeah, so the outcomes of the phone calls, the outcomes of the emails, outcomes of LinkedIn outreach, things like that. Yeah.
If you had one piece of advice to give, Rick, to people, to sales leaders, who are struggling with the results they're getting from their team, and short of giving you a call and hiring you, what advice would you give them?
If you're not getting the results you want, it's not always the sales team. You need to look at the processes. So don't give up on the sales team. Take a look at your processes, what you're doing. Get input from your sales team. Like, gather that information, do that audit, do that assessment. A lot of times you come in and we'll see a CRM system that's overly complicated and salespeople aren't using it. Maybe there's one person on the sales team using it, but the rest aren't. And they're just like, yeah, we have to fill this out because, you know, it's, we're told we have to do this. And in order for me to get my commission, I have to have this stuff in here at the end of the month. That's all. You need to listen to that. You need to understand that that's just wasting their time. They're wasting their time filling stuff out. So it's not always the sales person's, the sales team's problem. Sometimes it's just a process. It wasn't built out properly.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like they should look in the mirror and look at their own processes and as you earlier said, start the audit, the self-assessment of what the heck is actually going on.
I see a lot of instances where great salespeople were promoted to be sales managers. And sometimes they're just not suited to be sales managers because they're more sink or swim type of managers where, hey, I was able to do sales. I was, you know, I'm good at it. I'm natural at it. So I hired these guys. They should be a natural at it too, without any handholding or without any process management or any training. Just because, you know, a sales manager, you're a sales manager doesn't mean you're an expert at processes.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that are experts at processes. You don't necessarily need to bring in a sales enablement person, but you need to look at the process, maybe bring in a process person to figure it out and work with your sales team and map that process. And then when you have that, then you map that into your CRM system. And if your CRM system isn't capable of handling that process, rip it out and get one that is.
Well, that's a great place to finish, Rick. Thanks for joining me this week. That's all for this episode of The Changeover. Now, I'm looking forward. We've got a part two where we're going to talk about and look at, and I can't wait to hear from you, Rick, on this, on the impact that AI has on sales management and automation and all the things connected to it. So I'm Greg Linneman Sons. Thanks for listening. Look forward to seeing you next time. That's all for this episode of The Changeover, but be sure to look out for the follow-up to this conversation in which Rick and I will take a closer look at artificial intelligence and AI-powered sales tools that can help teams boost their effectiveness even further. I'm Greg Linneman Sons. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us on The Changeover podcast. Remember to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Wired.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what you'd like to hear about next time by messaging Wider Group on social media. Thanks for listening.